Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Over Night America. Start of another week here. How did the days go by so quickly? Feels like I may have passed out because of the heat. Woke up and next thing you know, hey, it's Sunday night yet again. So the phone lines are the same. We haven't changed those. None of the numbers have melted. It's 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. I wanted to play a quick Pat Maroon clip. Oh, this is a good one. This is from, I think you'll find out.
Respect the cop. You can't lift it. You only can touch it.
I like it right away. He's going around town. He's got the Stanley Cup. He's showing it off to friends, showing them off to people pretending to be his friend, showing them off to people that are new friends. It doesn't matter. Going to all these different locations over the weekend. You know, it's Pat Maroon. It's the local boy. He's having some fun with it. But don't you forget.
Respect the cop. You can't lift it. You only can touch it. So everyone, it's a free-for-all. Line up, take a picture. We're out in an hour, so get a quick one. And enjoy, open bar, have fun, drink some beers, and just enjoy it. But
thanks, fans!
One thing, though, before my wife kills me, we got to do toasted Rams out of the cup.
Toasted Rams out of the cup. Charlie Guido's there on the hill, decided to take the Stanley Cup there, put the toasted raviolis right inside, and man, did that look like a mess. Every picture I've seen so far of a St. Louis Blue enjoying their time with the Stanley Cup has all involved them putting food in that bowl. I mean, they all put food in the bowl. There's been some creative things people have done with the bowl, babies in the bowl. I remember, was it Mark Messier that made a Jello mold out of the bowl? You know, they get a little bit wild. Toasted raviolis, that's pretty cool. Everyone wants to do what their local hometown thing is, whatever that may be. Seeing people drink from it, oh, it's just a cool, cool time for Pat Maroon. If you haven't seen that, the story's up at KMOX.com. Another story, too, and this is kind of a local story. I've seen this written up, KMOV, but I think CNN was covering it too, but Rachel Langford's phone was ringing nonstop, apparently. She was the one that had the kid that was born on July 11th at 7:11 p.m., weighing 7 pounds and 11 ounces. I wonder if they may have, you know, put their thumb on the scale a little bit, or they might have been looking at the time and they said, we're just going to say it's 7:11 and try to keep that streak going. Well, it worked out in her favor. Apparently, someone from 7-Eleven found out about it. They celebrated by pledging to give that little baby $7,111 for her college fund. $7,000 for the college, which is nice, but when you think of a giant corporation, that's not really much. That's like change you find in the cushion when you're the size of a 7-Eleven. No, they're not complaining. They think it's the coolest thing ever. But, you know, the marketing angle of it, this thing made national news. They got a lot more out of it than $7,000. Could a 7-Eleven have maybe done a little bit more, $71,000 or something? Just think about 18 years from now what the cost of college is going to be. Well, if you're a supporter of Bernie Sanders, you may think that cost will be nothing, so she'll be able to spend that money on, rent, if she decides to go to college. But think about what $7,000 is going to get you in the future. The cost of college is insane. Even when I was going to school, we go back to the early 2000s. That was a lot of money, $7,000. Today, $7,000 doesn't even get you started on a college campus. And if you're a parent with kids going to school, you realize that. If you're the one footing the bill, realize how these kids get in trouble with these student loans. Totally get that. So the young St. Louis family has been in the spotlight ever since that 7-Eleven day. I don't know how long it'll be until they feed their kids some Slurpees. You know, I don't even know what the proper age to have your kid eat anything that's inside a 7-Eleven. My four-year-old, I don't know if I would allow him to eat anything that's there outside of the prepackaged food in the aisleways. Would I give him a Slurpee? Probably not. No, at four, I still think that's probably a bad idea. Not that it would hurt him. I just think it's a bad idea. Okay, but this is more of a feel-good story. It's kind of cool. You know, the company pitches in money when they didn't have to, and, you know, they get this national attention, and then they get a follow-up national attention song, but I guess us here in St. Louis, Missouri, are the only ones that really care about something like that. I got a lot to get to on the show tonight, and we only have 3 hours to do it. But either way, I do like to talk to you. I don't like to be in this studio all alone. It is nice. The air conditioning is turned on today, and it is lonely in the building because I don't know if you saw this on my Twitter, at Ryan Recker, but there's lights that have these signs over them that say, do not turn on. So we have this like dark building we're walking around right now. You know, we're kind of going through the darkness and, you know, you have to like put your hands out and you're feeling the wall. And it's kind of like one of those moments here. And apparently the fire alarms were going off because on the 16th floor or whatever, someone put a toaster strudel in for too long and it started burning. Yeah, so the fire alarms for the whole building were going off. How exciting. So I don't want to be alone tonight. So we got each other. There's a couple of stories I want to get. A school district sent some threatening letters home to parents. Whew, maybe just a little too aggressive. Also, Massachusetts police are asking residents to hold off the crime. Did it work? That's the question. The founder of Twitter, you know Jack, yeah, he's someone that flies back to St. Louis regularly. He was spotted in town over the weekend demolishing buildings for good, not for bad. He's just not out there with his $1 billion or whatever with the sledgehammer saying, what are you going to do about it? Bernie Sanders and $15 minimum wage. That didn't take long. Oh, I got so much to get to on the show here tonight, but let's do it together at 436-7900. You can call or text that line if you're local here. If you're not local, if you're not in the St. Louis area, it's 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. So what do you do when a school district owes a lot of money, or at least is down a lot of money because the kids aren't paying the bills when it comes to their school lunches? What do you do? 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So this is where we are. And this story popped up from a Pennsylvania school district receiving some backlash because one of the, I believe, superintendents put out a letter warning parents their children could be removed from their homes and placed into foster care if over two lunch bills are not paid. Now, that's a little extreme, right? You send the letter home and you tell the parents, hey, you better pay up or guess what's going to happen? We're not going to break your ankles. No, we're not going to do that. We'll just take your kids away from you. Okay, this is where I'm going to play both sides of the fence because I can see this both ways. Okay, let's look at it from the side of the superintendent that sends the letter out. Because they're in a district, they say that there is a total of $20,000 in student lunch debt. $20,000. So you're in that district, you're running that district, you have a budget, you can't afford to pay the teachers what they need to, you can't afford to get security, you can't afford to upgrade books that are out of date, I'm sure, you can't get supplies for the teachers. You know, and the teachers are sitting there and they're expected to be the parents on top of the psychologist, on top of the coaches, on top of this, on top of that. You keep adding more duties. And all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, okay, now in order just to keep the kids fed because the parents aren't doing a good enough job, they're not paying attention, they're purposely not doing it, or, you know, it's not the kids' fault that they don't have the money for this school lunch. Definitely not the kids' fault. It's the parents' fault. So I'm going to send a letter home. And the idea is, if you can't take care of your kids in something as basic as food, we're going to report you. That's what the superintendent's way of thinking is. Now, I'm going to ask this question. Is this the wrong way to think? Is this the wrong way to think? And I mean this honestly. If you're someone that's in the school system and if you've seen this happen, it's got to be frustrating on your end because you care about these kids. But you also care that your school isn't going to cut your job because they go 20, 30, 40 grand in debt. Now, multiply that with how many other school districts are going through the same problem. It's all over the place. It's rampant. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. So let me look at this from the other side of the fence. You get this letter, you're a parent, And all of a sudden you think, well, the school's harassing me because, oh, I forgot to send little Johnny with his little envelope pinned to his shirt that has the couple of dollars in there that I owe the school. Oh, you know what? I didn't know I was low. I had no idea my account was low and I'll just pay it or whatever. No big deal. But you didn't have to threaten to take my kids away from me for a small debt. It says that four parents owe over $450 each in this one in particular area. Your child, this is what the letter said, has been sent to school every day without money and without a breakfast, indoor lunch. This is a failure to provide your child with proper nutrition, and you could be sent to our dependency court for neglecting your child's right to food. It is the parents' fault, 100% the parents' fault. But did you have to really go out there and, you know, is this the way you drive the point home? Do you have to get this serious? I know if you're having a hard time as a school district, and every school district, I'm sure, isn't just, they don't have the Scrooge McDuck big vault where they can just hop into the coin pool and float around and just have gold everywhere they look. I'm sure that's not the case in any school in America, except your very, very rich private schools, which there are some here in St. Louis. My goodness. What are you going to do? Is this it? Is this letter right? The letter with the foster care warning was sent out to about 40 households on July 9th, the worst of the worst offenders, apparently. And part of that letter says, please remit payment as soon as possible to avoid being reported to the proper authorities. So the threat of being reported is a thing that they hope motivate them to get their bills straight. It's not the school's fault these kids aren't paying. It's also not the kids' fault these parents aren't paying. They got to do something to motivate these parents. It's pretty extreme, sure. Man, that would probably make them mad, not motivated to pay. And I don't know how many letters went out before that. They may have tried the right way. They might have tried to call them and say, hey, little Billy over here is about, 10, 15, 20, now 30, now 40, now $100 late. Make sure you send that money in. And they just don't listen or just don't care because they realize, what are you going to do about it? And I'm sure that the superintendent may have looked at this and said, well, if they can't afford food, then what other things are being neglected inside of this person's home? If you're a teacher, you're put into a bad spot, because if you see this happening often where the kid's not eating, you know what happens when the kid doesn't have a breakfast or a lunch or whatever it is? Oh, they're not paying attention in class, are they? All they're thinking about is how hungry they are. They're not getting a well-rounded education because they got other things in their mind. You know, who knows what's going on back at the house? What about some of these places where the kids are living in these terrible, terrible, terrible situations and the kids don't know any better? But, they come in and there's, hygiene issues. You wonder if they've ever had their clothes washed. You wonder what kind of other, things are crawling on the walls back home. I'm trying to be light here and be nice to them in the way I say this, but there's not the best situations that some of these kids are living in. Then they go and they think, well, the only thing we have to look forward to is to go to school because at least I know I'll get a lunch there. Well, soon enough, they're going to keep feeding these kids. They understand the importance of that, but what's the school to do? What's the school to do? They have a collection agency? Are they going to have to start notifying the proper collection agents so they can call and have someone else on their behalf harass them? Do they have to get these sort of people? Do they have to get other volunteers involved? This is what I think the national story becomes. Whenever there's a school that has this big amount of debt, what do you see? Oh, the community gets together and then they raise a bunch of money, or there's a donor that comes in and pays off the debt of the school and everything's great and everything's feel good. A lot of times people just feel like, oh, someone else will take care of it. I don't have to worry about it as long as my kid gets fed. But maybe in some of these situations, the parents don't even know. They could be just hands off. Maybe they just think, oh, someone else will take care of it, or they don't think at all. Maybe they just don't care about the well-being of their kid. As long as they're going to school, they're not in the house or the apartment. There was someone else's problem. So on Thursday, a manager with the Child Welfare Agency wrote the superintendent demanding the district to retract the letter. The county maintains that children have never and will never be removed from a home for unpaid bills, and that the letter was a gross misrepresentation of the good work of the county's child welfare services. This is over in Pennsylvania, WYOU-TV. Well, you, they better have a fun time with that call letter, because that's a great call letter, W-Y-O-U. Why-you? Well, I don't know. Is it a gross misrepresentation? I mean, how often are the situations so bad at home that the parents would get $400, $500 in debt when it comes to these food? Because there's a lot of assistance out there when it comes to low income and when there's a child involved. And there's a lot of assistance when it comes to food as well. Is it too much? Maybe there's another underlying issue that goes on back at home. And maybe the superintendent is right to tip off the authorities and say, well, here's the problems we have with these kids. Maybe it's about time you do a welfare check over to this place. So the Scranton WNEP-TV, Joseph Muth, told them the district has considered serving peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to students who have delinquent accounts but received legal advice warning against it. For the coming year, the district will qualify for funding to provide free lunches to all students. But it looks like they're going to have to eat that bill at this point. I think all those people are going to look at that and say, well, you know what? What's the point of paying my bill? If no one has to pay it, what am I paying it for? Isn't that kind of the point? Like, and we looked at that in the same mentality here in St. Louis. I only have a surface bit of knowledge of this, but I know Charlie Brennan was very involved when it came to the red light cameras around St. Louis. But the idea of, was it legal? Do you have to pay your bill? Do they have any authority to punish you if you don't pay your bill? Then they took it up to the Missouri Supreme Court and they argued and they got it. And these red light cameras no longer in use because of people like Charlie Brennan who fought this sort of thing. But when you look at that, he said, just ignore them. You didn't need them. Is that what people are going to look at these student lunches at this point? Don't worry about paying it. You don't need to. What are they going to do? What are they going to do about it? I feel terrible for these teachers because I think about when I was growing up and I think about my class. And so, even often I wonder what my teachers growing up thought of the individuals in the class. Did they have certain kids where they had to be the psychologist, they had to be the stand-in parent, they had to be the coach, they had to be the dad, they had to be the mom, they had to be the aunt, they had to be the religious leader, they had to be all of these things for the kid because they didn't have that sort of thing back home. But then again, I'm sure there's some situations where the schools are not in the best areas and they may be coming from not the best backgrounds, very low income. And sometimes when you look at the parents are off doing something else, either by necessity or whatever, and they're not involved in the kid's life. And then the things like this don't really, you know, they don't think about it. They think, oh, someone else will take care of it. It's a tough situation, real tough situation. Ooh, I had a feeling Beth might be listening. I was hoping Beth would be listening right now down in Texas, my former teacher. What's going on, Beth?
Oh, no.
I'm so glad you're calling in. Well, you weren't my former teacher, but you are what I like to look at as the expert former teacher that calls in.
I know. Part of the problem is that since the Obamas got hold of lunch in their time period, there's now a requirement as to what the kids...
I'm sorry, you cut out there. What the kids what?
What the kids can and cannot be served at lunch.
Okay, yeah, the guidelines were really changed.
Right, and they really changed the point that 90% of the kids don't eat that lunch.
They don't like
because
it.
They don't like it. They don't know what it is. You can't, like, we have primarily Hispanic kids where I was teaching. You can serve them enchiladas, which is something they would eat because... Mm-hmm. It wasn't done in a healthy way. We couldn't figure out a healthy way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't figure out.
You know, I thought that relationship between the schools and the food that they can serve changed after the Trump administration. Some of that was relaxed.
Some of it has a little bit, but some of it isn't because we can only buy certain foods with the money that they give us.
Yeah.
Because some of the cafeteria food is government money, mm-hmm. government food, too. And then you add to it, you know, there are schools, whole districts that ban peanut butter. So
yeah.
You can't serve them peanut butter and jelly.
I see.
You know, or some of the kids who get, you can't call it free lunch or a reduced lunch. It's one thing goes through. And you don't even take money from the kids. The kids pay their teacher at the beginning of the week or at the end of the week, and there's a listing, and when you come through, the kids as low as kindergarten have a four-digit number that they know, that they tell the person who's taking them, quote, taking the money, so that they can find out if they're supposed to be getting free lunch or paying for it.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You know, and so, and they're doing breakfast, lunch. There are some kids who qualify for backpacks on Friday.
Oh, the backpack programs, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, those go home with you on Friday and come back on Monday, and you can't make a big deal of saying you need to go down and get your backpack now. No, they, you, there's a list of kids, and you just know that they're going to be 5 minutes late to seventh period or eighth period, you know.
Yeah.
Because they had to go to the cafeteria and sign out their backpack.
Yeah, you know what, Beth? I actually helped fundraise for one of those programs in Indiana. And he told me, this is what the organization said. He said, it's so sad that when you put these together, you have to coach the kids to hide the food when they get home so the parents don't steal it, so you know the kids are going to be able to have it and eat it when they're home. That's how bad it gets with some of these families. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And but you have to remember that they're sending this backpack home. There may be six kids in the district, and all six of those kids are getting a backpack.
Yeah.
You know, and that, what we would try to do is we would try to include enough where you were getting, the parent was getting some food also.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's going only to a one parent, so it's not going to a two parent.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, but there may be a grandparent who lives with them or an aunt who lives with them, you know, something. But you had to check on them, and you about once or twice a month you would check, make sure the kids were getting the food and all this kind of stuff. But then it's amazing how many of those would come back too, and the kids would say, you know, we don't eat this or we don't eat that.
Oh,
Especially when you have an ethnic background and you're not used to eating pineapple.
Yeah, interesting.
They didn't know what to do with it.
Well, Beth, what's the solution then for these schools?
I don't know. A lot of schools down here in Texas have gone to where they have free lunch and free breakfast for everybody.
You just have to make it free.
You just have to make it free, you know, and you have to take that money out of something else, out of science classes or, God forbid, football.
Well, not in Texas. Like, how dare you say that in Texas,
well,
Beth?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I see how it's going. All right. Well, appreciate that input, Beth. It's good to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. This may be shocking to some people, but when I was growing up, grade school, middle school, high school, I didn't even know what middle school was because my school was K through eighth. I didn't know there was such thing as a separate middle school that some kids went to. And then high school, never had cafeteria food once. The only schools I went to, always you had to bring your own lunch with you. Never served anything. Yeah, no cafeteria food for me, so I missed out on all of that. All right, so what do you think we should do with all of this? If you're a former teacher, I'd love to hear your input, just like Beth. Or maybe you're a teacher now and you see this. What's the atmosphere here in St. Louis? I'm sure we have problems here, too. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. Is listener Dane listening right now? I heard your call into Walter Sterling's program before mine on here on Sunday nights. Let me play this real quick. This is probably from a little over an hour ago.
Dane in St. Louis, are you listening on KMOX?
Good evening, Mr. Sterling with the A.
Hey.
I just want to say this is my first time listening to your show, and so far I like it. And I'm just wondering, do you have, when I go visit my family in the Dallas area, do you happen to have a station there in Dallas?
You know, you're...
Now, let me point this... Before I play the last part of this, let me just point this out. You want to really, really be on the good side of a radio talk show host? You call in and you suck up how great they are. It works every time. So that's what Dane started the call off with.
You know, you're a gift from Jesus there, Dane, because not only do we have a station in Dallas, we have the dominant radio station in Dallas, WBAP, at 820 a.m. Talk radio, WBAP.
That's one of my stations I listen to when I'm there, and I didn't know you had there, but...
Now, listen to this part. This is what I wanted to point out. Not that we had a local listener on Sterling's show here. That's not that big of a deal. Listen to this part.
This is my first time.
Well, why do you like my stupid show? Why do you like it?
Because it's refreshing. It's refreshing. And then after your show, I listen to the Overnight America show.
With after Ryan. That. With Ryan Recker on Tim Weiss. Well, Ryan's great. So you get a chance to win a prize announcement.
All right. So then he goes and cuts him off. What happens there? I'm gonna compliment someone else. I'm about to talk about Ryan Recker on the show. Then what happens? Time to move on. Come on now. You see how this works. It's a you call in at someone else's show. And you mentioned Overnight America. Should we do that as a show, as a funny little prank? Should we do that to Walter's show? Should we just have a bunch of Overnight America listeners call in and talk about how much they love Overnight America into Walter's show one weekend and just do that over and over and over again? Would that be funny or would that be lame? I don't know. That could be funny. But Dane, if you're listening, I've got to tell you, I thought, no, let Dane talk about how much he likes Overnights America. Let him do that, please. There's this story on ABC. And Massachusetts police ask residents to hold off on crime until the heat wave is over. So technically, the heat wave was extended here in St. Louis for an extra day. But yeah, it's getting over. It looks like the next few days are going to be nice. Monday, what, high of 78 in the afternoon after the rain drops? Oh, that's going to be nice. Oh, that's going to be nice. But I totally understand it's too hot to do anything. Oh, it's too hot to go out. Man, would that work here in St. Louis? Could we just have the police go out there and say, it's too hot. Don't move. Go indoors. Stay inside. Don't commit crimes, please. The police were asking a favor of the residents who maybe planning crime. They said, please wait until the heat wave is over to conduct your activity. Shouldn't you just say, don't conduct that activity ever? That's probably the better thing to say. Yikes. In Massachusetts, the heat index was slated to be as high as 112 degrees in some places. Multiple police departments requested that any would-be criminals spare them from having to respond during the temperatures. Due to the extreme heat, they say. We are asking anyone thinking of doing criminal activity to hold off until Monday. Wouldn't that be nice? What if that was just the philosophy of St. Louis police right now? They said, you know what? We don't got enough people. Just don't do any crime. Yeah, stay away from it. Don't do crime. Or if you really have to, go across the bridge, do it in Illinois. They can afford the stats, right? You know, people just understand there's crime in that area. How about you just leave it to Illinois and then we'll just leave St. Louis alone? Imagine if the police made some sort of comment like that here. That would not fly, would it? And I get it. It's funny, I guess. And you have to live in a pretty small town for that not to make that big of a deal. It says police suggested they stay indoors and binge watch season 3 of Stranger Things instead. Ah, Stranger Things. I'm trying to watch it, and it's like I don't have a lot of time to watch it. So, you know, since I work the overnights, the only time I actually have with my wife to watch these things together are Friday nights, Saturday nights. So you can only do so much until you're too tired to want to do anything else. And, you know, I get it. It's not like we're obsessed with watching things or anything like that. I try not to. But, you know, once in a while, there's these things that pop up that are fun. But also at the same time, you know how difficult it is to sync your schedule with your wife when you got a young kid? It's nearly impossible to watch things. And then you have that temptation of watching it alone. So with Stranger Things and all of those different streaming services that are out, is it okay to go and watch it alone and not tell your wife? Like some of those things that you'd normally watch together, the shows, is it easier just to watch it separately? Are you done watching these things together? Or does it get easier when the kids grow up and then you don't have to worry about it because, you know, you don't have to put as much attention? I'm just curious if it gets any easier. Or maybe there's a better system out there that I don't know about. This is Overnight America, KMOX. I might as well put a call out for this too, just in case. Is there anyone out there delivering food right now? And you can do this anonymously. You can call us. You don't have to give us your real name. Make up a name. 436-7900 here in St. Louis. 436-7900. Or you can also call 800-925-1120, depending on where you are. Because there was a story, this is from NBC2, in York County, Pennsylvania. A man who ordered food using a popular service called DoorDash. You know what? I'm not going to say it's popular yet. I think it's known. I don't know anyone that's used it regularly, or I've only really met one person that's used it once. So it's around. Their pictures are up on different restaurants around town. But then again, I don't think it's widely used. I think people use it. I don't think it's like a thing everyone uses. A man who ordered food using this service, it's called DoorDash. Essentially, it's a food delivery service that's a third party. So you would order through DoorDash and you'd go to a restaurant that you like or whatever. And you'd say, hey, I want you to deliver me Taco Bell without me having to leave my home. So this third party guy in a car will go pick up Taco Bell, your order, and drop it off to your house for you. Kind of cool, right? So there's a driver, a resident in York County, Pennsylvania, who ordered from a place called Dickie's Barbecue. And after the driver delivered his food, Peyton, the guy, found two of his six ribs were eaten with bite marks. Bite marks. I'm curious, anyone that delivers food, anyone that's out there, you might work for one of these companies or something similar. There's a few different, like Uber Eats is another one. So these are getting, and I was listening to different news reports on the delivery industry, and that's where they say the money's going to go. They say that home delivery from restaurants, these third-party ones, are going to just skyrocket in the future. It's going to be the way people use these restaurants. He says there's going to be a point where more people are going to be ordering out to have it delivered to their house than them actually going out to the restaurant to eat. They say that's going to go in the next like 10 years. It's very quickly. So when I hear these stories, I think, you know what? It's not this one guy in York County, Pennsylvania. If you're delivering food, there's got to be a temptation to reach in the bag and grab a French fry. Isn't there just a little temptation? Or is it a lot of temptation? More importantly, if you're a delivery guy, you can call in anonymously. I want you to tell me the truth. Have you actually ever, ever taken something out of the bag? How far have you gone? I mean, have you opened it up? Do you take a peek? Like you look in there and say, okay, let's see what this guy's ordered. Do you put your hand in there to make sure, like, oh, I better make sure these fries taste good and to pull a fry out? What do you do? Is that possible? What about pizza? Have you ever taken a topping off of pizza? I want to know the dirty secrets of the people that deliver the food, honestly. I want to know if that's a thing. Because every once in a while, I'll have pizza delivered to my house. It's not often. Normally, I go pick it up myself. Only a few times when I lived in Indiana, there was a service that delivered food. We did that a few times. When we first had our son and we didn't feel like going out and we're tired, you know, let's bring it to the house. We'll treat ourselves a little bit this weekend. You know, we did that every once in a while. I'm curious if you're one of those delivery people. Tell me the dirty secrets of what goes on once that food's in your car. Have you ever had the food knock over and you had to like scoop it off of your seat and back into the bag in hopes that they wouldn't notice? I want to know, seriously. Let's go to Jill really quick in St. Louis, who's calling about the teacher subject. Hey, Jill, what's going on?
Hey, I'm actually in Illinois right now.
Oh, cool.
But driving home. So, but I'm from St. Louis. And my husband, I taught for 20 years. And one problem that you rarely hear of when you're speaking of the whole food mess that you were already speaking of, mm-hmm. Now, I know legally you're not supposed to be able to buy cigarettes or alcohol with EBT cards.
Right.
That's a given, right?
Right,
but that's
sure.
not how it works. Now, my husband works, I won't say for whom, but a cigarette company.
Okay.
And he often has to go to gas stations. And the rural ones and the urban ones sell, they just, you know, hand put it in and mark it as grocery. And they sell alcohol and cigarettes. And that, I, you know, it happens a lot. I know I was in near my house. There off Manchester near 141, I was in a gas station, and a woman went to buy cigarettes and alcohol and had a fit because the cashier wouldn't ring it out.
Okay.
And they're like, that's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, well, when I'm home at my house, she lived downtown, she goes, I can buy it, and they don't have a problem with it. So although, yes, you're not supposed to, that happens a lot. And unfortunately, it's the kids that are suffering. So
wow. That's got to drive you crazy, knowing the situations, the kids, they have nothing to do with that. It's no fault of their own.
Yeah.
These things are happening. And you go and you see some of the habits of the parents that are putting them in that situation.
Well, and, you know, as a teacher, I know most of my friends that were teachers and myself, you know, for field trips and all the things that, you know, food, you know, whatever, out of our own pockets. I mean, I'd spend easily $2,000 a year on things for students in my classroom.
That much.
I bought shoes. I made sure kids had snacks every day. You know, if we went on a field trip or, you know, when there was book fairs, I made sure, you know, because some kids don't have money for the book fair. So I just kind of, you know, take them aside, and that way everybody in my class always got a book.
You know?
And I am not the only teacher that does that.
You go above and beyond in those situations.
I think most teachers do.
Well, I don't want any technical numbers or anything, but your husband, does he make a lot of money?
He used to work for a pharmaceutical company. He made a lot more than the cigarette company, but
okay.
He does well.
Okay, he does well. So for you to be able to do these things for the kids, it's not like you're sacrificing a meal to do that. You guys are doing pretty good.
No, I was a single mom. I'm married now. I wasn't married. I was a single mother. So raising two kids alone.
Wow.
So, but they went to the school that I taught at, which made it easy, you know, so...
What would happen if you, the mother teacher, didn't pay the bills? What would the school do to you? The food bill.
I don't know what they'd do. You'd get letters. I don't think they threaten to take my children away. I know they say, oh, we're not going to give you the report card.
Oh, that'll happen. You'll hold back on things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you don't have, if you have a book that's not turned in and you have a book fee unpaid, you won't get your grades.
What about punishing, like you can't go on the field trips or anything like that? That's too far?
That's punishing the child.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe that happened somewhere, but it wouldn't have happened to a child in my class.
Okay. Very good, Jill. Hey, thank you for that insight. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, interesting. They hold back the report card. Now, that's not a bad idea. I mean, the parents do want to see how the kids... I don't know. Well, let's look at it the other way. Let's say the parents so uninvolved in the kids' life. Number one, they don't really care to settle the debt for the kids, and they're not really securing the food to begin with. Do they really look at the report card? Do they care? A lot of times these kids, it's like, you know, they shove it in a book bag and the parents don't care or whatever. That's kind of sad. I feel bad for these kids, man. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can also reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can go back and download the podcast at kmox.com/ONA. Make it your favorite little podcast. Listen to it alone in the car. It could be our little secret together. It's Overnight America. KMOX.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.